Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and I have back on this program a good friend, Paul Lowe, and I've been wanting to talk to you, Paul, because of some of the things that seem to be going on with you internally, in your sense of awareness. Do you want to describe, like, what's going on, what's different, what's new in a way?
Hi, everybody. Well, I can't really describe it to myself. So that's why I thought I'm not sure how this interview will go, because I don't have anything clear. The nearest I can get to it is this. And of course, I don't know whether this is true. This is how it seems to me. It seems this being we call Paul Lowe, in this body, the name, the label we've given him, Paul, has moved in, say, consciousness or awareness, has moved. And the nearest I can describe it, it is as though it has moved further away from what we normally call reality, closer to what we don't really have a name for. And so, as some of the psychics have been trying to describe to me, they're saying I'm sitting on a cusp, in the middle between here and there. Here is the one we know, and there is what we would call abstract or not sure about, or the dream world, or whatever. So what I'm feeling is that what we call the re-world is fading. Now, and then when I say it, it's not true. The real world has got more real in one way, but it's got, see, everything has an opposite. It's got more substantial, and yet in another way, less substantial. And so in one, the real is very real, and it's not the main focus anymore. It's this other side. Now, again, I don't know what the other side is. I'm going to say it's more abstract, but it isn't. In one way, it's very, very real. In fact, it's more real than what we call the real in one way. So as something I was reading on Bashar recently, he says humans think they're something like this. Humans think they're a body with a spirit inside. And in actual fact, they're a spirit playing human. And that's what I'm starting to get. We're playing human. This is a game. As in they say in the East, Maya, this is a game. And the game is getting more real. The other is getting more real than the game. But it's not substantial. I can't say I know we're existing in dual realities. I can't say I know that, but the feeling is so strong, and it feels as though it's getting stronger. And what happens is every now and again when I'm sitting totally alone and just looking out of the window to the forests, it's as though the frequency of the vibration, let's say out there, starts to match with a frequency of what we could call in there, inside me. And they start to match, they start to line up. And as they do, everything gets less real and more real at the same time. The solid becomes transparent and shimmering and vibrant. And again, as I keep saying, repeating, what we call the real world seems less real and more real simultaneously. And what we call the other side seems to be home.
Home.
Like, yes. Well, yes, home. Home. Where we really live.
I did talk to a really great psychic intuitive about where you are, and I just asked him to tune in. And he said there's something that is feeling, it's being shaken up inside you. And he says this is a shift in the way you're expressing yourself, and you're going to listen to yourself in a different way. And you're moving through this. It's just a transition period until you get used to this new frequency. And he says you're going to be around for a while to share this and to, you know, to communicate on these different levels. So that sort of sounds like what a lot of people have been getting when they've tuned into you.
Yes. Yeah. And there are quite a few people writing to say they're having shifts as well. That the real is getting less real to them.
You know, as you're talking, I get the sense of what you're saying about the real being more real and less real at the same time. It's
good. Yeah.
It's not something the logical mind can understand.
No.
Because we're transcending this old way of using logic, but it's like things seem more three-dimensional, more here, but the observer part of me is aware of being here in this way, but also aware of where it's observing from, in a sense.
What I was just getting as you were talking is that the facility we have for talking about it is the mind, and the mind works in opposites, in duality. So it says yes or no, or right or wrong, or black or white. And so when we say reality is more real and less real, it doesn't fit the mind, but it's exactly what is. And we're needing to transcend what the mind is trying to understand. It's doing its job. That's what it's supposed to do. And we have to be brave enough to let it go and say, we will take responsibility now. We'll take over and let go the way we've been seeing things through you, the mind, which is a restriction.
Yeah, I think the old mind, but it does seem like there's another facility, and maybe we don't call it the mind, but there's something that's the mind duplicated but was very limited. But there is something we can call the mind. Huxley called it the mind at large, or there's awareness that is something like a mind but much bigger than the mind. Do you know?
Yes, yes. And
that's like when you say Paul Lowe is leaving, or whoever I am, it's like that's the place that transcends the identification. And I don't want to be too intellectual about it, because I'm interested in what else you're feeling, like the sensing internally, you know, for you.
Well, it started with I was doing some heavy gardening work, some really heavy stuff, and carrying a big load that was right on the edge of my capacity. And I've always enjoyed doing that. What's the maximum? What's the possible? So I was carrying that. And then I started to get a different sensation in the body than I've ever had before. And it was the breath was changing, the temperature was changing, the pulse was changing. But I could still do it, so I still did it. And then after it was over, it was as though the sensation didn't go back to normal in the normal way. It stayed shaken up, let's say shaken up. And then when I got back and showered and sat down, it was as though what we call reality started to fade out. So I thought, oh, is this fainting? Or is this passing out? Which I've always liked the idea. I've never actually passed out, but I like losing control. I like being dizzy. I like anything that is not under control. So I thought, oh, maybe I'm going to pass out, or maybe this or that. But it wasn't. I stayed very, very conscious, very aware. But then my heart started doing all sorts of wonderful things. It would stop for quite a while. And when it did, everything stopped. It was like somebody had taken a photograph. And time stopped and everything stopped. And then it would start and it would go very erratic, very, very erratic. And then back to normal and then stop and so on. And this went on for quite a while. And the body was obviously going through something because it wasn't having its normal experience. But it was as though the mind stabilized, almost as though it was on a gyro. It was very still and watching. And I was wondering whether I was going to go to the other side, which was absolutely fine with me. But it didn't. It just did this thing for a while. And a couple of people were there with me. Sabine was there and Diane was with me. Mm-hmm. And Sabine was massaging my feet. Diane had her hand on my heart. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, 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 everything started to come back to unnormal. Mm-hmm. It slowly started to come back to the something that is now familiar to me. But it was almost as though it was out of focus, as though there was a dual image. Mm-hmm. It was as though whatever came back didn't fit exactly into the body. Mm-hmm. It was slightly, out of focus or not completely lined up. Almost as though there were two me's. There was one in the body and one not in the body, not quite synchronized. And that was interesting too.
Mm. Well, but this, you return to a reality that was different, and that's where you still are in that way, right?
I've returned to a reality that I was in before, but it's more unreal than it was. It hasn't been real for a very long time. And now it's more unreal. And when, again, unreal, it's very real.
No, I know.
And not real.
But what? Okay, then what's the other reality? What's that like? Can you describe that other place that is? Where are you? What is it? What's that space?
Vibrating very, very fine frequency, like buzzing, like crickets or. But fine and gentle, but buzzing, very, very steady, high frequency. Mm. And as Claire was saying to me today, she's staying with us now. Claire Soloway is staying with us. She's staying in the cottage. Right. And she's saying what a fantastic experience she is. It is, because when she sits there and just sits there, because she doesn't have a group to do, she doesn't have anything to do, which she normally does. She's just sitting there. And as she does, she feels that her frequency starts to match the frequency of the land and the trees, and because we're surrounded by trees. So it starts to match. And then what my experience is, as what we call me starts to match what we call the outside, it's as though there's a disappearance. But it doesn't disappear, but it's no longer solid and the same tangibility. It's more real in one way and less in another. But it's as though the frequencies match. Mm. So the body doesn't end at the skin. That's it. It doesn't end at the skin. This frequency, this vibration, is radiating off the whole of the body everywhere. Mm. And it's going out, and let's say it's blending in with what we call out there. But you see, I'm beginning to see that there isn't an out there. And of course, I've always known that in one way, but now I'm beginning to see there isn't an out there.
But the trees are out there. Well, but they're a part of you. Is that what you're saying?
No, not part of me. No, I wouldn't say that. It's not the tree. It's the frequency of the tree.
Uh-huh.
The frequency of the tree. The tree has its own form, and I have my form. But the frequencies of the tree that has decided to be a tree start to blend with the frequency that has decided to be Paul.
Mm-hmm. It's, I get a sense of, is there a feeling? Is there like an emotion? Because it, like a love that comes with this, or is it just more sensational and awareness?
In its quiet state, there is no feeling, there's no sensation, there's no thing. It just is. And then something happens, something ripples, somebody mentions the name, and the feeling of what we could call love is so strong now. It is so, sort of, in a way, overwhelming. It's separate and not separate from what I was calling the stillness, which isn't still. But the love for everybody and everything, everything, and not just the living trees, but my wooden desk. Because just because we've cut it down and made it into a desk, it's still alive. Mm. It's still alive. It's maybe not the same sort of aliveness as when it had its roots in the ground, but it's very much alive. It's very much itself as I am experiencing it. Mm. So when you say the love, it's as though something passes automatically through anybody's behavior and meets up with their source.
But this is way beyond behavior in a way, right? What I get is this frequency that you're feeling from the outside is love, or it's this overwhelming emotion and feeling. Does that make sense?
Right. No. So we have to listen to these very loosely, because we've got our ideas built on what we think is love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to repeat this thing that I've repeated, which you know, but for any listeners that haven't heard it, what science is saying now very strongly, in a way, is there's nothing out there. They're saying that now. There are some scientists saying there is no color out there. Scientifically, there's no color outside of ourselves. There are frequencies. We take in the frequency through our eyes, and then our brain manufactures color. It manufactures color. We are not seeing what's out there. We're seeing what's inside there. So if the same with sound, you ask me a question, a reply comes up in me, and my throat vibrates with what we call a word, but there's actually no sound between you and I. There is a frequency, a vibration that stimulates the hairs in the ear, and then the drum, and then a chemical, and then an energy, an electricity. It goes to a part of our brain that translates the frequency into sound. Another part translates the sound into a word. Another part of the brain translates the word into a meaning. But it's your meaning. It's not my meaning. We may, by coincidence, mean the same thing when we say love. But we may not. So when you say, is it all love? No, it's much, much bigger than that. Love, using the word love, squeezes it into a little box.
Right.
This thing is bigger than what we call love. Because love has a loved and a loved one. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't have that. Because, as they say in the East, the seer and the seen are one. There isn't two. We're not correct, but we're all vibrating together to such a point we are together. At some point, at some place, there is only one.
So
and then it comes out into these separatenesses.
But I was going to, if you go back to that place where you are that frequency and you're feeling it outside and inside? Does it feel, and you're saying there's, in a way, no separation, something starts to disappear, and yet there's still an awareness of the disappearance? Or do you disappear completely beyond awareness? Or
I think there are times when there's a disappearance, and I don't know it till I come back. And sometimes I think, oh, I must have fallen to sleep, but it wasn't a sleep. It didn't feel like sleep. It's as though something has disappeared altogether. But that's not for very long periods. Usually, let's say coming back, I've called it coming back into the body, but it's not actually correct. It's coming back into consciousness, which means, let's say, it means coming out of the place, let's say, where there's absolute oneness and therefore there's no awareness of awareness.
Yeah.
Let alone the person that's being aware. And then slowly it starts, let's say the vibration comes down. I don't know whether that's correct. And then there's an awareness of, oh, yes. And just for a moment, it's on the cusp, just on the level of everything is vibrating at the same frequency. And then it's only just being separate. And then the frequency comes down again. And then there's the awareness that there's the tree and there's me at the same frequency, but now there's an awareness of an outside and an inside.
Yeah. No, as you were talking, I'm also remembering or sensing, you know, 40 years you've worked with people and their behaviors, basically, and their behavior seemed everything that wasn't natural or about this frequency. And maybe that's why you were able to see so clearly, because a part of you was always attuned to this other thing. Does that make sense? When you compare behavior to this other place?
I think I may have mentioned this before. This is a slight tangent.
Yeah.
When I was sharing with people, I was vaguely aware that I had to stay in somewhere the same frequency that they thought they were in, that their behavior was at. I had to stay roughly within a similar frequency in order to communicate. And if I went disconnected and went to a more abstract place, then whatever I said didn't connect with the person I was talking to. I had to make a link some way. And I didn't do it consciously. It did it itself. As soon as, let's say, the desire or the response in me was to communicate with the other person, it would find a matching frequency that was suitable. Now, when I would come back in between the tours, I was thinking that my frequency dropped to its natural level and wouldn't have to modify itself until it started talking to people who weren't aware of that level in themselves. But I found it was different. When I decided I wasn't going to travel anymore, the frequency dropped to a totally different level. It seemed as though something in me knew that I didn't have to modify my frequency anymore. So now it could drop further because it doesn't need to change.
Yeah.
So it's dropped down to another level. And now, although occasionally I attempt this with people that come to see me, very occasionally, it's as though I really, no, I take the person seriously, but I really can't take what they call their problem as serious because it just seems ridiculous. Just human behavior seems absolutely ridiculous.
Well, because you've sort of lived it all. You've seen, you know, you did groups for years, but you also had a very dynamic, exciting, versatile life and experiences. And maybe because you're on the other side of human behavior, and we're all trying to get there in a way through these ridiculous experiences, but you have to kind of go through it to know that how ridiculous it is, don't you? Or maybe that's no longer true.
I don't think that may not be true. I think it has been true, except in very rare situations. I think that's been true. Needing to go through all these things to complete things. So as they say in the East, the energy can rise. You complete this level, you complete this level. I think that has been true. But I think there's enough of us on the planet now that have been through that, that maybe that energy can become strong enough to affect everybody. Mm. I think that's our possibility. Whether we're going to do it or not, I don't know. What has been very useful when you say all my experiences, I think I've experienced pretty well everything there is on this planet, except actually killing anybody or being killed. Apart from that, I've been as close to death as you can get. I've had every possible experience I can think of. Now, that means that, except being a drug addict.
Right.
I found out through going through a no-eating process that food is an addiction as well. I found that out.
Yes.
So when I communicate with somebody, I can empathize with them on that level because I've been there. But as I've been there, seen it, acknowledge it, accepted it, it just stops being a power force on its own. It goes into neutral. And that energy gets released and is up into being available for the next level. The next level becomes available. And so, yes, being through all those things, I can say, but we don't have to. Now, I don't think that's anything unique that I've said. I feel that everybody that wakes up says the same thing. I now realize I didn't have to do all those things. That has been there all the time, but I was looking for something else that I thought it was. I was looking for what I thought was enlightenment. So I was looking for my thought.
Right.
And in actual fact, once you get to that place, you see, they've all said the same thing. This is it, here and now, take no thought of the morrow. It's here. Just exactly as this moment is. And the slightest thought from the past or the future, the slightest desire in any way, removes you from this moment. And when you have this awakening experience, this undescribable thing, it's when you accept this moment exactly as it is. Not when your anger's gone, not when you're not greedy anymore, not when you're sexist. No. Exactly as you are in this very moment. This is it. This. Now.
Yeah. So that's the awakening. But now it seems like there's a further awakening. There's a deepening of that awakening. That was the doorway, the moment, and now something else seems to be arriving that's an add-on or a something beyond just being here, but it's still being here, but it's something more. Is that right?
I'm going to divert.
Okay.
You're amazing, Alan. You tune right in. And not only do you tune in, I can feel when you're talking, you're getting what you're saying. You know what you're saying. You're in touch with what you're saying. That's very rare to be able to talk at this level. Mm. And I've noticed a couple of times in this chat as well, you've referred to things, a vast, vast level, scope of experience and knowledge you have put you in a very unique position. And I'm very happy to hear that you're doing talks and lectures.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, yes.
Now, what did you ask again?
No, I appreciate that, but I was just saying, because what this psychic did say to me also, he says, when you get to this level that you're now in a sort of transition, you are going to actually help amplify a lot of people around you who are close to you, you know, including me, but other, you know, other people will all, in a way, we're all moving together to this place, wherever that is. So,
I see us as transformers, you know, an electrical transformer. An electrical transformer takes one frequency and changes it into another. So sometimes there are step-down transformers. It takes 240 volts and steps it down to 120 volts. And I think all of the people like you and I who are devoting their lives to being as awake as possible, we're all transformers. Mm. We're all going out on the edge, catching whatever's there and bringing it back and radiating it. Whether we're talking or not, we're radiating whatever we're bringing in. But then so is everybody. And I also think that there's a possibility that there's quite a number of us doing the same thing with different aspects of what we call consciousness and forming a giant transformer by combining all our research, experimentation, experiencing.
Yeah, so there's something bigger happening when you put all these transformers together. And that we actually is, maybe it's not all in place, but something's arriving collectively can we see this is the sense that I get about it. It's like you can only, when you put all your fingers together, you form a fist or something like that.
And we all benefit from each other.
Yeah. But it's big, this thing that's arriving is what I sense. And it's...
Sense is the right word. I get that sense. I sense what's coming is, at the moment, we have no way of getting the slightest idea of what's coming. It's so out of our dimension.
And it's... Yeah, there's no concept. There's no mental framework for this whatever this is, this thing.
No. And so we have to keep letting go of any of our ideas. We have the idea and say, oh, it could be this, it could be that, so I'll experiment, I'll do this, and not fix ourselves in any way of saying, oh, so it is this. Because as soon as we say that, we're fixing again, and then the next level has more difficulty of getting through to us.
Right. So it's like we know what we know. We know the known, but this unknown cannot be named because then it would be coming from the known.
Right. That's right. Yes.
So just let's keep it the unformed or the...
That's it. Yes. Yes.
But it is forming as it forms. It is something, I would say.
That's where we run out, isn't it? We don't really have any way of describing what's indescribable.
Right. Until there's a breakthrough in consciousness, and I think this is what the history of consciousness is, where someone creates something out of the unknown and there it is. And of course it's still part of the illusion of the world, but there have been breakthroughs where suddenly there's been something new has arrived and you know, like Copernicus but it's not just the earth being the center of the world, or showing that it's not. It's like the way we think about who we are in relationship to that is what changes. The thinking changes, if you want to call thought something.
The whole concept.
Yeah.
There was something I just sent out recently on a man talking about on having no head. It's a technique. And in this video, he just a simple thing. He said, you're looking at my face as me, and now you're looking at my skin, and this was all visualized, and now you're looking at my cells, and now you're looking at, and now you're looking at, and he was taking us in and in and in to the subatomical, and there was as much space in there as there is outside. Mm-hmm. And then he pulled back. And he said, now you see my face again. Now you see my desk. Now you see my house. Now you see my town. Now you see my country. Now you see the planet. Now you see the galaxy. And on and on and on. And we don't work in that. Our concept does not include that vastness of what we call space and time.
Well, yeah, but it's true. But also what you were just saying about being present here and now and living in the moment, what seems to be happening is what you're experiencing, a deeper presence of the moment. So yeah, you've been for so many years saying it's in each moment, and now even you are going beyond what you've been calling it, because it's something else, and yet you're experiencing it through the moment in a richer, deeper way beyond the concepts that even you may have put on your experience.
Right. When you said I forget how you said it, that the innovators brought in some knowledge. It's always been there. We didn't bring it in. We're going out to it. It's always there. And it is in the depth of this moment. That's been my experience so far. The less ideas you have, the deeper you drop.
But in this change that's happening for you, particularly now, there you're still in each moment, but there's what is this other thing? Maybe it's not another thing because we have no words, but what is this happening that's beyond? Because you've always said in the moment, but now I'm interested in this thing, if you can just play with, in a way, naming it somehow, what it is that's happening, deepening in the presence. Do you know what that I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, and I'm looking.
Yeah. And we're just playing because, you know, anything we say, of course, is just words on concepts, but yeah.
Mm. Mm. Well, the first thing that comes, Alan, is it's irrelevant.
Right.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to even try and identify or give it a name. Mm-hmm. First of all, it doesn't have a name. First of all, as you try to identify with it, it morphs into something else. Mm. So it's like a squishy thing. It isn't anything, and it's everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But it's different than what it was when you were, let's say who you were, let's say a year ago, or when you were on tour, you would say, okay, it's here now in each moment. And you were there, but this is a further elaboration on the moment or something.
Right. Now here, you have to attempt to disconnect the part of the process of the mind.
Yeah.
You see, when, as I sent out on that email, that's ordinary people having awakenings, they all said roughly the same thing. I now realize I was experiencing that at the time in what we call the past, but I didn't know it. So as you wake up to something new, let's put it that way, you realize it isn't you. You've always been like that, but you didn't realize you were always like that. So it's, I think that's why my favorite word for it is realization. You realize you've always been this awake, but you weren't awake to the fact that you were that awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So each level that seems to unfold says, I knew this all the time. I knew this all the time.
Is that what's happening with you, this new awakening? Do you feel like this is a space?
Yeah. And you see, to me, it's not appropriate to call it new.
Uh-huh.
The way you're talking, yes, in time, space. But from this side, it's not new. It's always been there. All I'm doing is, as far as I know, waking up to what's there all the time. What has been there all the time, will be there all the time. It's waking up to what's been here all the time.
Yeah, I get that. But also, it can be a little disorienting in the new awakening, like you said. There's something is adjusting to. Yeah, talk about that.
Disorienting. You see, this is. I think I've been talking about this forever, but now I'm really talking about it. You see, when you say disorienting, you're only disorienting if you're using something from the past as orientation. You're comparing it, and then you feel disoriented because it's not the past, it's not the old. If you keep disconnecting from that, not holding from that, letting you be, not saying, oh, this is a heart attack or a virus, or it could be this, could be that, or it could be awakening, or it could. If you disconnect from all that, it just is what it is, and then it's wonderful.
But you said, but that, I'm just quoting what you said, that you felt it was slightly, or maybe my, you know, something that was a reference to what you just went through. And so are you talking about yourself in disconnecting from that, you know?
Oh, yes, because otherwise I could have contracted and said it's a heart attack, it's this and that. I could have contracted instead of saying, I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe it's a virus, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, just maybe, maybe. But opening up and including in there, maybe it's a change of frequency, maybe the body's having to adjust to a new vibration, maybe there's a transformation going on, and including all that. And in including all that, I'm ready to go to the doctor if there's something that says this needs to be checked. Fortunately, I'd just come back from having a full medical check where they said I was the healthiest 78-year-old they'd ever met, and my pulse was that of a 20-year-old. So I'd got this there, but still, if I wasn't sure, I'd go and check. But it's not holding anything. It's not having any idea. But it's not even holding the idea that it's transformation.
Yeah,
because when we say transformation, we've got an idea of what transformation is. Our brain goes to a part of its memory and says, ah, transformation, pulls something off the shelf. What does transformation mean? So we're stuck again with the old instead of, I don't know.
Well, what you're saying is it's experience. There's no qualifying or naming whatever your experience is, and you've always been a great reporter of your experience. So that's sort of what, in a way, your job. You have the experiences, and then you tell other people it was like this. Well, for you, but, you know, not for anyone else necessarily.
Just a sideline again.
Yeah.
Claire Soloway's here.
Okay.
And her life is about waking up, maximum potential. That's what her life is about. She does these amazing groups and trainings and all sorts of things. And basically, her life is about waking up. She'd give up everything if that was what is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same when I'm talking to you. I can talk to you. I can talk to her. Like, I can hardly talk to anyone else. Hardly. There are a few, but very, very few. Because when I say something, they interpret it with their old meaning.
Yeah.
Sincerely, they really are looking, they're attempting, but they're not fluid enough to dare to not to understand what I'm attempting to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's what's always been so exciting for my connection is because I enjoy not knowing, but following a kind of movement in the not knowing. You know, it's knowing and not knowing. It's so when you speak, I am being reminded of something I've already known. I've already always known, like you said, but then. I am letting go of the concept of what it is that I know. So
yeah, right, right.
It's again paradoxical into the mind that says, "Oh, you know, but you don't know," and it's like, "So what?" Right. But,
and again, you're pretty unique because you're having intimate contacts with all the levels, the spiritual side, the science side, the UFOs, you've got, and you're open to all of these things. It's quite unique. You're not taking a position on it. I think you're a bit strong on crop circles, maybe.
Right. I don't know what it is, though.
But you're open to all these things. And so you've got this great pool in there of experience and absorption of all these people you've met and downloading their experiences.
Right. And that's the most exciting. I mean, if I thought I knew something, it would sort of shut me off from what I was capable of learning. And that's the most fun for me is to keep learning, to keep meeting these people with these amazing experiences and I don't know what I'm doing with it. I guess I'm downloading. I'm just enjoying it. In a way, it's like entertainment because I know none of it is serious in a sense, but it's also the only thing I am interested in. So there's some slight detachment from having to know.
Let's include everything you've said.
Yeah.
And it's a response in you.
Yeah.
You are responding to, you say it's the only thing you're interested in. These things are true in one way, but in another way, you are responding to something that is, let's say, beyond what you know as you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that connect? Can you feel that?
Yeah, connects because I when you say that Paulo disappears, I often think, well, I don't know who. I mean, there's no. I answer to a name, but I know that's not me either.
Mm-hmm.
So your experiments in being are, and the more you disappear, the more Paulo kind of fades away. The more that. Opens a road, does something to the collective. I don't know what, but...
Mm-hmm. I think we're all radiating. We're all sending stuff out. Unfortunately, most people are sending out negativity, and it's collecting on people who have power because they collect all that negativity and then send it off in a particular direction. But, I really feel as though that does happen. We radiate. We can radiate love and we can radiate hate. It's up to us... our awareness, what we do. I really think it has an actual effect on the planet.
It does, but I don't even tune into the people radiating negativity. I that's not in my... I mean, I can maybe sense it, but I don't even go there in a way. It doesn't concern me.
Consider this.
Yeah.
The people that are collecting that negative energy from almost everybody gets angry, almost everybody's judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are collecting this are doing a great job. They're putting it all in one place for a start, and then they're reflecting it back to us. They see, because our little negativity's not really big enough. We've got to get a microscope to see it. Mm-hmm. And there it is up on the wall. And that's us. If we are bright enough to say, yes, I have that in me. It's not that big. I have that in me. They're doing us a great job. Plus, if we can care for those people we've really taken a shift in consciousness.
Mm. Yeah. No, I get that. And I, you know, but talking to you and feeling the vibration you're at, I don't really in this moment sense anything like that. And, you know, maybe because I'm in my little apartment with whatever, but I can't even relate to that in this moment, you know? But I know it's out there. I mean, I got angry at a cab driver just the other week, but but it's not that big deal. I can see that's behavior, and I know what you're saying about it reflecting. But where you're at and exploring this other space seems so far beyond those levels. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm creating a
Yeah. This is subtle. This is subtle.
Yeah.
We need to include. If you try to exclude anything in any way, everything goes out of balance. We include. Whatever comes up, we include. And we have a preference for it to go a certain way. But if it comes up, there it is. Mm-hmm. And you need to give your taxi driver a big tip.
Right.
Because he's just helped you see something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I'm saying right now, yeah, and I get that. And I know when it comes up. But in this moment, everything is just really feeling very good. I'm feeling where you are and sort of your excitement about the unknown in a way that I haven't sensed before. There's almost not quite an anticipation, but this opening is, I can't say what you've been looking for, but there's something that's exciting about this. It feels like to me, or from you.
I wouldn't use excitement.
Okay.
Well, it's much quieter than that.
Yeah.
It's as though it's, in one way, it's as though it's already happened, in one way.
Mm.
And it's very gentle and it's very quiet. And maybe the excitement's your end.
Maybe excitement's which?
Your end.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I'm not through with excitement yet. That's still what I'm looking for. And maybe that's, that's fun for me. But
yeah.
There's something, there's more juice maybe running through your system. Is what I sense.
When I talk to you, or when I talk to somebody who's playing at that level, mm-hmm. and then when not, the peace that passeth all understanding.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. But, yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun when I'm talking to you about it and talking to Claire about it and Kira sometimes. It's fun. And it's a form of entertainment.
What, the talking about it's a form of entertainment?
Yeah.
Because it's not it. Is that, because it is something completely you can't talk about.
But it is happening.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm just smiling, so
And all the people, all of you that are listening, as far as I'm concerned, you are my brothers and sisters. But I mean that literally, absolutely literally. In fact, beyond that, we're all this one energy. So the things you're going through, I'm here for that, to assist in any way that's possible to help. So you still have your fun doing it yourself and maybe take some of the lumps out.
Well, what do you mean? I don't know if I followed that last. You're here to help with some of the discomfort, but that how can you?
By sharing, by whatever awakens in me, whatever comes is to share it, which is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And to share it with people, because people get stuck. They keep going around in a circle, and sometimes they hear one little thing and and off they go. And so our communication right now is going out to what I consider, I mean literally, our brothers and sisters, everybody. Mm-hmm. And the more available you listening make yourself, the less you hold, the more you allow, the smoother and more fun will be your ride.
Yeah, and you know, I get the sense you sort of, you said that in the past, but you're saying it from a new place somehow. It's that has nothing to do with who you were. It somehow it seems different and clearer what you've just said.
Yeah, it does feel as though something is unfolding and getting more clear, yes.
And it's coming from some place beyond Paul. There's still a little bit of Paul, what I call Paul, there, but it almost is an echoing of some other place that is touching in.
Yeah. We still need Paul, because he's a vehicle on this side. So we need him on this side. And his uniqueness, like your uniqueness, all our uniquenesses make us more available to more people.
And Paul is also the part that really senses and is a very articulate in tracking awareness. That's an important part of who Paul is.
And in a way, in a very working class language, in a very basic, ordinary language. So not spiritual stuff, not new age stuff, not intellectual, not science or anything. He seems to speak in a very basic, ordinary sort of way.
And speak very well, actually. But those are all, I mean, so do you get the sense that then you're a vehicle for this? I mean, everyone is, but more identified with the vehicle for this presence than Paul. I mean, but in a new way, in a different way.
Okay, before I answer that specifically, let's look at something. You see, I think the answer to that question for me is irrelevant.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you asking, because then it's maybe the sort of questions that other people may ask. But to who is here, it's irrelevant what he's doing and he isn't doing.
Right.
And if he's helping or he isn't helping, or he's just doing his thing. And I think that's what you're doing. And that's the value of the frequency of your vibration. You're just doing your thing.
But you might say that everybody is, not me or you, everyone out there on the street and, you know, whoever's out there is just doing their thing. I mean,
the big thing is the more conscious, the more harmonious. Most people are doing what they're not doing the thing. The robot's doing its thing. The conditioning's doing its thing. They're doing what they've been told to do and they've been told to say. They're robots. Most people are robots. And they're such a robot, it's hardly anybody ever gets beyond their behavioral pattern. Mm. Because it's that they think that's them. It's not them. That's not them. That's their robot. So when you say everybody's doing their thing, yeah, but all to different levels of awareness, different levels of presence. Mm.
So when people get beyond the robot, you're saying, then whatever their, I don't want to get too spiritual, but their essence is, becomes, goes online to get to deliver their uniqueness to creation, we can say.
Their frequency becomes more harmonious and therefore more healing for the people around them. But the main thing is they're having more fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So one last question. I mean, we can go on, but I don't know how much time the radio station is going to give me. But, you know, I'm not going to make this a mental concept, but as you were talking about the frequency of that inner and outer awareness, there was the word something like, have you touched infinity, or have you get a sense of what the infinite is in any way?
Well, if your meaning is there an answer, no. Have I touched infinity as a sense or a presence of something? Of course, the mind comes in and says, how can you have infinity?
Well, how, we're not talking that to the mind, but yes, your sense.
A sense.
Yeah.
Yes, a sense of timelessness.
Yeah. Can you describe that just, if it's possible?
Only in silence. And it's, again, it's a not this and not that. It's just not anything we can identify. It's the lack of identification.
Mm. Is that new for you? I mean, I guess I'm asking, is each moment new for you? I mean, not as a concept, but as the living reality of your experience.
I'm going to pick up on the word new again. I know what you mean, and I'll come back to it. There is the realization that it's not new. Nothing's new. It's always been there, and I've always known it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize I knew it. Then when we come back to in each moment, it's amazing about in each moment, and things I've tried to share in my when I write things is it is as though nothing is more or less important than anything else. And that includes you putting on your shoes to people being killed in the war zones. It's as though everything has an equality to it in some way. And everything we do is significant. Anything, brushing your teeth is significant. And it's opposite. It's insignificant at the same time. As though just this moment is so, this moment is so perfect. And then saying, will you be here just this moment? And that's what goes on with me in my day to day. I get, oh, that needs fixing.
Mm.
I'll go and fix that. But it's every step on the way. And often I never get there because on the way I see something else. And then I see something else. And so I keep going. And the mind says, hey, you said you were going to do that. And I'm here, I'm in this moment doing this thing, which is sometimes nothing. And the mind says, hey, you've got all this stuff to do. And the mind and the mind and the mind. And it's just being right here, every moment. Every sensation, every thought, everything, including it all, right in this moment.
Mm. What you were saying before about nothing being important or unimportant, or everything important, it reminds me of that poem. And I think poetry sort of touches what you're saying, but Williams, Carlos Williams, wrote a poem called The Red Wheelbarrow that said, "So much depends upon the red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chicken." So much depends upon that. And yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, there's nothing to say.
The red wheelbarrow, I'll tell you a little story. When Ava and I were together, when we got back here, somebody had bought us a blue wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I don't like blue because our tractor's red and this is red and this is." And one day, Ava comes out of the hangar covered in red paint. She'd painted the whole wheelbarrow red.
Mm.
That's love.
That's love, yeah.
Yes.
She's cute. How's Ava doing?
Great. She's doing great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like you're on an adventure somehow. I mean, something. I mean, nothing's changed and everything seems to gone to another level for you.
We're all on an adventure, Alan, and the more we realize that, the more fun. Instead of trying to maintain our lives or get ahead or our ambitions and all our ideas, instead of we're on an adventure. We all are. And once we get that, we start having much more fun.
So it is about having fun. I mean, so whatever happens, I mean, no, you've said this over years, and of course we've heard that. Whatever happens to somebody doesn't matter. It's something beyond that. But
how are you with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I said this before. My 101-year-old mother says when she's out, she often says to people, "Are you happy? Don't do anything that doesn't make you happy."
Mm.
And it's, you see, we think of happiness as a particular thing, but it's not a mind thing. Happiness is being in tune with who you are in that moment.
Mm.
In balance, in harmony, living your truth in that moment. And then we're having fun.
You know, I was, thinking a little bit about when you went back to Australia, how great it would be to disconnect from even thinking about people's behavior. Is there something about, I mean, this is sort of, you've been a teacher of that, but is there somewhere where behavior and the frequency of the outdoors of nature hook up? Is there a way of combining those two or making sense of that somehow? I don't have a question, but I have a feeling.
Yeah, I don't connect with that so much. When you said people's behavior, in one way, I don't want to be around it, and I still find it people fascinating. Mm. Fascinating. Everybody's unique. Everybody is so wonderful in their own way, in their own unique way. And again, it's, if it becomes appropriate to disconnect for something, I'm pretty sure I'll hear it. And if I don't, one of my psychic friends will remind me, or you will, somebody will. So I just literally let life unfold.
But I guess I'm asking from like the level of Paul Lowe or who Paul was. You're fascinated by behavior, and yet you have this thing you're connecting with nature. Is there a way where the two can be seen as one? You know, the behavior and nature, and does that make sense?
On the frequency level.
Yeah. How does that connect on the frequency level?
Well, it just does. It just does connect. It's all, in one way, it's all the same frequency.
Mm.
And I have noticed that when people come out here and spend more time in what we call nature, they slow down, they go quieter, they become more harmonious, and they become more content.
Well, you sound great. I'm excited to, to you know, where it's all going for you and what the next level of whatever you observe. But you've been, you know, you've put yourself out there in a unique way, just because you've always been the individual. But you know, what I'm trying to say is, you've kind of been at the forefront, a pioneer, and you've you disidentified with anything that may have held you to the past. And so I'm interested in where you're going.
Yeah, this is just technical. It's just a technical thing, Alan. Yes. It's not going anywhere. Going is like a progression to past to future. And it's, as I see it, feel it, sense it, it's not going anywhere. It's being, going deeper into being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, from the linear place, it looks like going, and the other level, it looks like it's always been. Yeah. Right. But yeah, maybe at one point you will completely disappear and there will only be being.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even to talk, even this conversation, you're relaying something from another level of consciousness.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. It wasn't. You know, and I mean, I appreciate it, but don't want that to take away from your level of being. You know, so, but it's, but I do feel your love and your love for yourself too, in a way, an appreciation for everything you've put Paul Lowe through.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's a great guy to live with. He's no trouble at all.
He's very neat. He cleans up after himself.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I'm still getting that. But I'm glad. Yeah, thanks, Paul. Okay, well, we'll be in touch. And
all right, and before we go, just to talk to everybody that's listening.
Yes.
Is, if ever you feel hopeless, I felt that, and it isn't. It's not hopeless. We get stuck, and if you're available, if you're ready to live your truth in each moment, everything we'll need will come to you, will come to you.
Mm. You felt hopeless, but what was it that...
Hopeless is I can't do anything about it. And that's true. You only feel hopeless when you're trying to do something you can't do. When you stop trying to do something you can't do, the hopelessness disappears. In other words, when you're here now, just as it is, everything feels wonderful.
And what? Yeah, and whatever problems that seem to be there,
problems are facts not being accepted.
Right, right. So there's no problems. It's just there's a situation and it needs to be taken care of or not.
Yeah, and I'm trying to radiate now to all of you that are listening is go for it, go for it. It's there. Have fun and go for it.
Mm. Yeah. And that is fun. That really is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. The unexpected is great fun.
No, Heraclitus said, of course, the unexpected is difficult and hard to find because everyone's so used to having it the whole way it's been. But there's this, what we've been talking about, and is this other thing that is so different than anything that has been. that it is unexpected. It can only be unexpected, I suppose.
How boring to have everything predictable.
My mother always said she wanted every day to be exactly the same, but because she was so full of fear, you know, she always, you know.
Oh, the fear is the basis. The fear is the basis of everybody's discomfort. Well, and what did Jesus say over and over and over? He said two things over and over. Fear ye not. Was one thing. And the other thing was rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Paul. And actually, Paul has an ongoing blog on the newrealities.com website. Just look under blogs and you can hear. If you care to write anymore, that's fine. If you don't, that's also fine. You have a great bunch of things already up there. That guy Richard Miller did a beautiful job reading your book too.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I'll do an interview with him.
He's a little in his mind, but it was very heartfelt, I thought.
It was. Yes, yes.
Well, he'll be very happy to know that. So anyway, we'll be in touch, and thanks, and you'll keep us up to date on whatever comes through.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Happy rejoicing, everybody.
I'm going to rejoice was the title. Someone said read James Joyce, but no, rejoice. Okay, thanks, Paul.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, love.
Bye. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and this interview will be posted on the newrealities.com website, and you could Paul's website is paullowe.org, and he has tapes and CDs that have a lot of this conversation, sort of, but this is new, but you can hear what Paul has said in the past there, and thank you for listening, and listen next week. See you next time.
Middle of the day, feels like a dream. Walking homes in the middle of the night, not my favorite dream. Waking up in the middle of my life, nothing's what it seems. I feel the fire, come alive. Feel the fire, come alive.